Our thoughts and prayers are with all the families who have lost loved ones in the Middle East and those who are waiting to have their loved ones released, having been held hostages for some time now. And of course, we pray for peace, not only in the Middle East, but throughout the world. There is much religious division, is there not, in the world today? Well, we've been studying the church before the world, and this, of course, is the church you read about in the Bible, the church that was established by our Lord and Savior Himself as He gave Himself up for the church, purchased it with His precious blood. It is His spiritual body, and thus the church of Christ. In our first sermon in this series, we studied the church before the world began existing in the mind of God, the eternal plan of salvation. And also, we noted the church before the world revealing the wisdom of God. And we continued that study last Lord's Day. And now, we want to pick back up with the church before the world as the salt of the earth, preserving the life of Christ. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. And we all know we should be doing just that, preparing for eternity. And so now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we come together in our Bible classes. Yes, we're studying God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. That is, having a proper attitude, but also following the pattern of the New Testament, John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. And I mean, we're a friendly congregation, so check me out on that. And something else we want to mention. We're always glad to answer Bible questions that you may have. And if you would be interested in a Bible study, we would love to set up a time at your convenience to do just that. We appreciate your comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us at 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, 46151 is the zip code, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And we want to now mention our gospel meeting that's just around the corner. You're invited to attend November 10th through the 12th. That would be Friday and Saturday night at 7 p.m., Sunday, 9:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., a potluck lunch. That's delicious, I can assure you of that. And then the last service at 1 p.m., closing out the meeting. Our speaker, Brother Bill Boyd of the Rock Lift Church of Christ in McMinnville, Tennessee. Let me get that out right. That's good old Tennessee, where I'm from. So we look forward to having Brother Bill and his good wife, Sister Lori, with us for our gospel meeting. And also, actually before our gospel meeting, is the 42nd annual lectureship at Stop 11 Road Church of Christ, formerly Garfield Heights Church of Christ. And the theme, Mountains and Valleys of the Bible, November the 5th, going through the 9th. And the times of service, Sunday 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 1:30 p.m. I'm privileged to speak, Lord willing, Sunday morning at 11 a.m. And then Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. And this is at the corner of Five Points and Stop 11 Road. That's 6920 East Stop 11 Road. And you'll, I'm sure, enjoy all the other speakers, at least, at that great lectureship. I look forward to hearing them as well. Now, let's get to our study this morning as we're picking back up in our study of the church before the world with this very important statement. The church before the world, preserving the life of Christ as the salt of the earth. And this, of course, is taken from Matthew 5:13 in the Sermon on the Mount. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. So as we know in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus referred to the kingdom of heaven in five verses. Chapter 5, verse 3, 10, verse 10, verse 19, verse 20, then chapter 7, verse 21. He referred to thy kingdom in Matthew 6:10, the kingdom, Matthew 6:13, and the kingdom of God, of course, in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So before the cross, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, was referring to the church of Christ that would soon be established. Of course, notice Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So Jesus, of course, was God in the flesh, and thus the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the church of Christ. As you see here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, and he is the head of the body. Notice that, the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things that he might have the preeminence. So we need to understand concerning the body, the church, is referring to the church of Christ, since he possesses it. That's what we need to appreciate. So those who would become citizens of the kingdom of heaven, that is, Christians, would also become the spiritual salt of the earth and be a spiritual light unto the world, as you continue on there in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Hopefully we'll cover that, Lord willing, next week. But notice, as we are seeing Jesus using salt, and then, of course, in 14 through 16, light, as characteristics of future Christians who would be in the kingdom of God, in the church of Christ. So we want to look now at three excellent reasons why Jesus used the natural compound salt as a characteristic of Christians, as we're seeing here in the Sermon on the Mount. Number one, salt preserves food, and Christians are to preserve the life of Christ on the earth. That's our main point, really. Think about that. As salt works as an antidote to corruption and rotting and has medicinal qualities which soothe and heal. Remember having gargled with warm salt water? My mother had me do that I don't know how many times. Well, it helped. I think you would agree if you did that as well. Now, under the law of Moses, salt was used in the meat offerings. And every oblation of thy meat offering shall thou season with salt. Neither shall thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thy offerings thou shalt offer salt. Leviticus 2:13. That's important, isn't it? Now, have you ever used a pinch of salt to help keep flowers fresher longer? Well, it can help clean windows too. Common sense should tell us that salt must be applied in all those examples I just gave if you're going to get the desired results. Now, here is the application. Just as it should tell us that the daily godly influence of each member of the Lord's church must be applied throughout all the world for the desired results. Again, Christians are to preserve the life of Christ on the earth. He's not here in the flesh. He is in heaven, reigning on the right hand of God the Father, having all authority. But we, as Christians, are to live a life revealing Christ. That's right. And it should be daily that we're having a godly influence wherever we may be living. We're to take up our cross how often? Daily. Yes. Putting to death anything that gets in our way of serving God. We want to follow Christ in our daily life. Now, salt acts as a preservative to larger fish and meats. And Christians, though we may be in the minority, we can act as a preservative to the world. Think about, without the daily influence of Christianity, what would the world be like? It's bad enough now, but think about without any Christian influence at all. I shudder to think about that. Remember, there was not enough salt. There wasn't enough righteousness in the days of Noah. 8 souls were saved by water. The rest of the world, their thoughts were continually on evil. What about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? There was not enough salt. And God destroyed those cities. That's right. There's plenty of salt there now around the Dead Sea. What about the nations of Canaan? Again, God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah had there been 10 righteous people. Genesis 18:22-33. That reveals to us what a difference even a small number of righteous living Christians could have on our communities right now. Christianity is the best life possible, period. So faithful Christians are walking monuments, proof to the success of living according to the truth, according to the Word of God. As daily followers of Christ, we are to be Christ-like. To what? Preserve the life of Christ on earth. 2 Corinthians 4:11. Notice, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That's it, isn't it? Galatians 2:20. This is Paul. Again, as he wrote to the Church of Christ in Corinth, now to the Churches of Christ in Galatia, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can we say that, as Paul was able to say? Do we love one another as Christ loves us? Study John 13:34-35. Let's go on. Number 2. We talked about salt preserves food, and Christians are to preserve the life of Christ on the earth. Number two, salt gives flavor to food, and Christians are to give flavor to life. Salt brings out hidden flavor in meats and vegetables. Yes. Try eating those green beans without any salt. Some of us have blood pressure problems, and we've learned to do without salt a lot of times, but still in cooking, food is generally salted, is it not? Actually, salt is necessary for life, and we should know that. I remember years ago, when I mean years ago, playing high school football in Memphis, Tennessee, and in the summer we would start practice, and boy, was it hot. Hot and humid. And we were given salt tablets because we were perspiring profusely, you might say, in our practices. And I remember two times a day we were doing that. Well, the point is, Christians living godly lives are necessary so that the world can have a proper moral flavor. So, how do we respond to those who ask us about our religious or world views? What are we going to say? Are we prepared? Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That's right on target, isn't it, of what we're talking about. Mark 9:50, salt is good, but if the salt hath lost his saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Oh, we need that, do we not? So let's keep in mind this very fact concerning spiritual taste. Of course, we're familiar with what we eat, and we like those things that taste good. Well, trials and suffering are easier to bear as they taste better with God's word. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. David the psalmist in Psalm 119:103. And again, Psalm 19, another Psalm of David. Notice verses 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Do we appreciate the sweetness of God's word? Now, think about accidentally pouring salt instead of sugar into your coffee or on top of your ice cream. Woo! Don't like to taste something like that, would we? Well, we would recognize immediately that that's tasting like salt. We would realize it immediately what we've done. So when our food is without any salt, it's very noticeable, revealing to us the positive effect that salt has in this world. And so salt stands out, whether it's unwanted or having a positive effect in the world in which we live. So again, we want to make the spiritual application here. True followers of Christ will be recognizable and stand out in the communities where they live and serve God. Remember when Christians were called walking Bibles? Some of us remember that, do we not? Well, we should be called that today. Our Lord and Savior lived a perfect life, and yet He was rejected and despised of men. So we shouldn't be surprised at that kind of reception. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5:8-9. So, as Christians, living a daily godly life, we can be sure that persecution is going to come. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But let us be determined to remain faithful and to maintain our recognizable Christian flavor, and despite the persecutions that we face in this life. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. That's the promise of Christ. But let's go on and look at number 3. Salt is good for nothing when it loses its flavor. And God's children are good for nothing when they lose their spirituality. That's right. What happens when salt is contaminated by foreign substances? It loses its flavor and cannot be disposed of in the soil, but is cast into the streets to be trodden underfoot. As you go back to Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. So let's now answer the following questions and make the spiritual application. What good is a physician who refuses to work with the sick, or a mechanic who does not want to get his hands dirty? Imagine that. Well, here's the application. What good is a member of the Lord's church who refuses to do the work of the church? Same thing, isn't it? Who wants to have a doctor that's not wanting to work with the sick? You see the point? And what about the brother or sister, instead of having a good influence, is having a bad influence on others? We need to study John 15:1-10. As Jesus is the true vine, and we're the branches. And what happens when the branch is not producing fruit? It's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So if we have lost our spirituality, we have allowed Satan to contaminate us with his three avenues of temptation: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:15-17. So to regain our spirituality, we must repent, confess our sins, and pray to God for forgiveness of our sins, as Simon the sorcerer was told in Acts 8:18-24. Now, how can we in the Lord's church have a good influence on the world if we are deteriorating spiritually? We're losing our flavor, in other words. So as Christians, we're to live in the world, but not to be of the world. That is, not to allow the world to take away our good influence. That's the point. What person or persons have had the greatest influence upon Bob Hawkins? Now, you asked yourself the same question. What person or persons has had the greatest influence upon you? Now, those outside the church, no doubt their answers would include parents in false religions, false teachers, politicians, writers, famous people in sports, in the movies, or on television. But for us in the Lord's church, as Christians, would we not answer godly parents or other godly people, such as a faithful grandparent, spouse, son, daughter, other relatives, and of course, sound in the faith Bible teachers and preachers? The point is this: where would we be without those godly influences in our lives? So as Christians, we are to be a daily godly influence in this sinful world while sojourning on our one-way journey in this life on earth. I'm emphasizing the word daily for a reason. So instead of conforming to the world as some of our brethren are doing, let's be a living sacrifice before the world, Romans 12, 1 and 2. The prince of this world wants to silence those preaching and teaching the truth. They want people to turn away from God. Satan utilizes his evil workers as they promote humanistic philosophies such as liberalism, socialism, cultural Marxism, communism, globalism, tribalism, totalitarianism, identity politics, progressivism, and being woke. That's accepting ungodly behaviors and perversions. So what happens when man succumbs to those ungodly philosophies I just mentioned? Well, they turn away from God. A study of Romans 1, 16 through 32 shows that, does it not? Well, our beloved country continues moving further and further away from God. Crime rates have soared as many prosecutors refuse to prosecute criminals, and many leftist politicians push to defund the police. How many drug dealers, gang members, murderers, rapists, and child molesters, terrorists, have crossed our southern border? And how many young people have died from taking fentanyl and other illegal drugs? How many people on the left fight earnestly for the right of the mother to take the life of her child and support illegal protest in front of Supreme Court justices, in front of their homes, that is? How many young children have been taught they can change their gender in our public schools? What happens to the parents who speak out at many of the school board meetings concerned about the grooming of their children? And how many corporations are supporting the people who practice ungodly perversions such as homosexuality, transgenderism, transvestite behaviors? We love their souls, by the way, but we hate sin because God does. But we need to care about them and help them get out of these sins. But is the point not made? Christians must provide the needed salt of daily righteous living. That's right. And so we need to ask ourselves, am I the salt of the earth with other fellow Christians, giving flavor to this world? Am I preserving the life of Christ in my way of living? Am I living for God or self? These are questions all of us need to answer. But as we close out our study this morning, and Lord willing, we want to continue next week with light of the being the light of the world. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, hearing the truth, believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of our sins, making the good confession unto salvation, being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and then the Lord will add us to His body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful. And we thank you so much for listening today.